title of the sermon is, Who Am I and What Am I Called to Do? That's basically the main theme that is running across Ephesians. Who are you and what are you called to do? Who am I? What am I called to do? And so my subtitle is, I am known to make Christ known. That's basically the entire passage. What I'm going to do is within the context of this passage, it is so filled with evangelism that we cannot escape a testimony or two. You heard Paul's testimony in Acts, and you're going to hear another testimony later on. But if someone had to ask you, do you know Barack Obama? And you say, of course I do. He's the president of the United States of America. Who doesn't know that? If I asked you, do you know Tom Cruise? Or Jacob Zuma? Or Helen Ziller? Or Michael W. Smith? And sure, most of us will raise our hands and says, look, I know him. Or I know them. Or I know her. But if I changed the question and asked, do you really know them? Intimately and personally on first name basis. Have you shaken hands with them and spent time in their homes? And most of us will say, no. We know about them, but we don't really know them. Now here's the difference. Jesus Christ, our Lord, knows every single person intimately and personally by name. Now, isn't that amazing? That the God who created all the superstars, all the presidents of this world, knows you and he knows me on first name basis. Okay? First name basis. Whatever that name is, he knows you. And the reason he is so closely connected to us is one, because he is God. And two, because he is God's gift to you. Now isn't that a wonderful thing to know that the person who created President Barack Obama, Jacob Zuma, Tom Cruise, Ellen Ziller, Michael W. Smith, knows you and knows me. On the other hand, I can only know God intimately and personally because Jesus has freely offered himself to be made known. You see, not everybody does that. I mean, when we were at the Michael W. Smith concert, it was hard to get to shake his hand. There were so many security guards around him. And only those who have made special appointments and the media could get near to him or close to him and speak to him. But we as a crowd just sat there and we enjoyed everything else. He spoke to us, but I don't know him on first name basis. He does not know me. And yet, Jesus has freely offered himself to be made known. We know him only through the grace of God and through faith in Christ. Hence the title, I am known by God. Now if I'm known by God, then knowing Jesus comes at a price. What's the price? Well, we are obligated to make Jesus known. If Jesus knows us, then we are obligated to make him known. I was impressed with Roy's testimony at the men's fellowship. For those of you that were there last week or the week before. When he shared his testimony and he said, God found me. I did not find God. And that is a true statement. I remember one of our ministers shook the hands of President F.W. de Klerk when he was the president, and he told everyone about it and how he did not feel like washing his hands because he shook the hands of the state president. Now, if you have met Jesus, or if Jesus has met you, then you will not and you cannot keep it to yourself. It must prompt all of us to talk about Jesus. And Paul explains to us how this is possible. But before Paul explains to us, I've asked Alyssa to show you a testimony of a man from India. I'm not going to introduce you. He's already going to be introduced. So Alyssa, you can run it as I'm talking. All right? And you will notice how God chose.
Today's special music is a good friend of ours from India. He's from Bangalore, but he's not there very much. He is the world's most traveled musician, and that's not an opinion. He's actually received a world record. He's been to every single country in the world. He plays for the poorest of the poor, the richest of the rich. He's open for everything from the World Cup to the Olympics. He gets through here about once a year on this very important and special day. His name is Benny Prasad. He will be, this is just added, he agreed to do this, 6:30 tonight. If you come to the meeting early at Thomas Road, he's going to do a mini concert right before the meeting. Welcome all the way from India, one of the world's best known musicians, Benny Prasad.
Thank you, Johnny. Good morning, everybody. Come on, you can do that better. Good morning, everybody. Yes, that was a quick lesson on good morning. Well, I want to thank Jesus for giving me this gift of life, and every time I come here, I'm just so thrilled to see so many young people on your way to missions. If you have not decided, today is your deadline for that, actually. And you know, it's so wonderful to live. I just celebrated my 38th birthday, and at the age of 16, the doctors had given me 6 months to live. I was born with asthma, and from the age of 2 till the age of 16, I was on wrong medication, on high dosage of cortisone steroids. And as a result of that, 60% of my lungs got damaged, and my immune system broke down, and I developed rheumatoid arthritis. At the age of 12, by accident, I was hit by a javelin, and my spinal cord was damaged. And everything went wrong in my life. Well, that's what the human said. And my father, being an aerospace scientist, he expected me to become like him. And I became the scum of the family. I was thrown out of school in my 10th grade, saying that you are not worth studying, you are useless, you are good for nothing. These were the words that were spoken over my life for 16 years, where medically they told me you will not live any longer. In education, as well as society and family, they looked at me and they said, Benny, you are a shame and a curse to the family. And having no hope, no talent, no life, nothing left in me, I contemplated to commit suicide at the age of 16. Even if you're really sitting down and wondering, Benny, can God use me in missions? I want to tell you that there are so many Bennies like me out there who needs the gospel. And you are one among them who can really go and share that gospel. And at the lowest point of my life, when I wanted to kill myself, I heard the voice of Jesus Christ saying, Benny, even though you are called useless, I still need you. I said, Jesus, why do you need me when the whole world says I'm useless? He said he could transform my life and make me a new person. And I said, okay, I have nothing to offer. All that I have is my broken life and 6 months to live. He says, that's enough for me to start a new work in you. And that's what he has done. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I've already surpassed the expiry date that the doctors had put on my life, actually. And I'm just so thrilled to live this. And in 2004, I asked Jesus, what is your call for my life? The Bible says, God's ways are higher than man's ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I want to tell you, a Christian life is the most exciting life to live. And a life that is surrendered in Christ is just so adventurous. My life is more than James Bond movie. Because it's a reality. James Bond is only a movie. Mine is a reality. And in 2002, with $25 a month, being a YWAM missionary, I asked Jesus, what do you want to do with my life? Because my dream was to go to one country. He said, Benny, I want you to travel to every country by 2010. I said, Jesus, this is impossible. till today, there has never been one example in the history of mankind, whether it is Michael Jackson or Mariah Carey or whoever it is. They have never been to every country in the world. How can I, being a broken person, being able to achieve this? He says, Benny, what is impossible for you is possible for me. And what it takes, my dear friends, today is to surrender your brokenness and your life into the hands of Jesus. And He will shape it after His will. And so I said, Jesus, as long as you are my provider, I will be your traveler. We had a good deal. I said, I will live a life of faith and you provide for me. So today, this is my one passport. And this passport is my travel record to every country in the world. And on 22nd of November 2010, I arrived in my last country, Pakistan, and I broke 6 world records. And one among them was I became the fastest man in the history to travel to every country in the shortest time, 245 nations, including Antarctica, in 6 years, 6 months and 22 days. If Jesus can use my life to make history for His glory, I'm sorry, I don't have time to wait for your clapping. I'm not trying to be rude. But if Jesus could do that in my life, today He has a plan for your life. And He took me to amazing nations. One among them was North Korea. Last year I was invited by the government of North Korea to come and perform for the 100th birth anniversary of their founder Kim Il-sung. 834 performers were chosen from all over the world, and I was the only Indian chosen from my country. And it was a great opportunity to play, but more so an opportunity to share the gospel. Yes, if you share the gospel, you don't need to be a prophet to understand that you will be killed. But I understood in the Word of God that if anyone tries to save their life, will lose it. If anyone loses their life for the sake of Christ, will find it. So I informed my parents, there's a big possibility that I might be killed in North Korea. So if you don't hear from me on the 17th of April, that's a mutual understanding that either I'm killed or in prison, and I will see you in heaven. Because for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So I went to North Korea so excited to live and to die for Jesus. 2 spies followed me every single day of my life, every single minute in fact. When you have 2 ungodly spies following you all the time, what do? You share the gospel. Because they're always with you. They will never leave you. They might forsake you, but they will never leave you. And since they're always with you, what a great opportunity to talk about Jesus. You don't need to go to North Korea to talk about Jesus. Jesus is putting a nation in your heart. Be obedient to Him. Say yes to Him. And I got into trouble. Sure, next day my interpreter went and informed to the official that Benny is doing this because I used her to translate my testimony to the spies. Now I'm in big trouble. It's sure I'll be killed. But the right perspective is what a great opportunity to stand in front of the official. And I shared my testimony, knowing that I might be killed. But the official asked me a question. How could you be so sure you heard the voice of Jesus at 16? It could have been your own imagination. I told him, sir, my own imagination told me to kill myself. It is the voice of Jesus that gave me life and life in abundance. And He heard my testimony. And I want to tell you, my friends, be courageous, even to the point of death, to share the love of Jesus Christ. Don't ever fear your life because Jesus is in charge. I was not killed in North Korea because it was not my time to die. He knows my time, actually. And in the end, 12 musicians were chosen out of 834 performers. And I was one among the 12 to be awarded by the government of North Korea. And I played this Shout to the Lord, the song which I'm going to play. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. In a nation like that, on their national TV, if God could use a Christian, an Indian, to perform on this guitar, a guitar which God helped me to design in 2004 for the Olympic Games in Greece. If God could pick a broken, worthless child like me, written off by society, to design the world's first guitar with drums inside, there is nothing impossible for Jesus to do in your life. If He could give me a passport like this, 14 books, to go and share the good news to the nations, there is nothing impossible. I am just so excited. And I'm going to play this song, My Jesus, My Savior, Lord, there is none like you. And again, with arthritis, when I play this instrument, even the medical doctors say, this has to be God and God alone. And just to conclude with, when I broke the world record, I had a hat which said, thank you, Jesus. And CNN was the first news channel to interview me, and they said, sir, that is a religious statement. Please take off your hat, because we are a secular channel. And I'll tell you, you want to share the gospel, share it creatively. Nobody can stop you. And so I asked Jesus for an idea, because the whole world is going to interview me for achieving this feat. and I want to make sure that Jesus is known. I am not ashamed of the gospel. He gave me life when doctors gave me 6 months to live. He gave me protection. He gave me this beautiful future. How can I keep Jesus secret? No. It is sin for me to keep Jesus just to myself. So he gave me this beautiful idea of designing this new hat. And my hat says, "Thank you, Jesus, I'm an Indian." This is not a religious statement, it is a patriotic statement. And hence, nobody can stop me. You know, nobody can stop me from wearing these things. And if even news channels, they would come up to me and say, "What is this on your head?" I said, "Well, I'm proud to be an Indian." The cameraman says, "Do a close-up on his hat also." At the United Nations, they told me, "You cannot share about Jesus." I said, "Fine." But I wore my hat, which talked about Jesus all the time. My friends, if you really want to talk about Jesus, nobody can stop you. So don't use excuses. Go forward. He died on the cross to rescue you from sin and give you eternal life. I cannot keep Jesus secret to myself. So my Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you.
If you want to listen to the rest of it, we can always get it to you. He's one of the best guitarists in terms of playing that drums that he put together. So guys, I'm not going to take up too much time. 10 minutes have already gone out of my sermon, but I'm sure you enjoyed that wonderful testimony. Now, here is Paul. He begins his address in chapter 1 and verse 1. "I, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God." Okay, that's in chapter 1 and verse 1. And now in chapter 3 and verse 1, he declares, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles." Now notice, he speaks about himself as "I, Paul, an apostle," and then he comes back and he says, "I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ." Now friends, this is very important. We all know from Acts chapter 25 that Paul is a prisoner of Rome. He's a prisoner of Nero. He's a prisoner of the system that is anti-God and anti-Christ. So from a human perspective, he was a Rome's prisoner and he was Nero's prisoner. Paul had appealed to the emperor and so he was committed to a trial under Nero. As a matter of fact, Paul did not see himself as a prisoner of the emperor or Caesar or Nero or Rome. No, he confidently declares himself in verse 1, he says, "I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ." Now you must understand this. What really brought Paul to Rome was the vicious and radical and fanatical Jewish opposition to his mission to the Gentiles. So the real reason that he is a prisoner is his reputation for teaching exactly what he had taught in chapter 2. So what did he teach in chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2? What is it all about? Well, Jesus abolished the divisive elements of the law, and in doing this, Jesus was creating a new people, a new building, and a new temple. And so what led to Paul being taken to trial as a prisoner is exactly this. He was saying, the old system was only pointing to me as the Messiah, as the Christ, or to Jesus as the Messiah and as the Christ. And it is an uncompromising espousal to the Gentiles that led to him becoming a prisoner. So today we ought to be thankful for such a bold witness of the gospel, as you and I would not have been here had it not been for somebody coming and telling us about Jesus. And indeed, friends, all nations of Gentiles throughout the world would not be sitting under God's word today. Nor would Benny Prasad, testifying in 245 nations of the world in such a short space of time. We are known to make Christ known. And therefore, let's have a look very quickly at the mystery that is made known in verses 2 to 6. It says that surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known by revelation, as I have already written briefly. Now, friends, by definition, the word mystery is something that is secret, isn't it? It's not known. It's puzzling. It's obscure. And the word is repeated three times. You'll see that in verse 3, the word mystery appears. It appears in verse 4, and it appears in verse 9. Three times the word mystery appears. What is mysterious is really inexplicable. In other words, it cannot be explained. And really, it is incomprehensible, which means it cannot be understood. Something that is unexplainable and cannot be understood. And the Greek word mysterion is different. The truth that was hidden from human knowledge or understanding is now disclosed by the revelation of God. So this truth is not for a select few, for the spiritually elite. No, this truth is available for the whole church. It is available to each one of us to acknowledge. I remember speaking to my neighbor's sister many years ago in my early years of ministry. She suffered a blackout and she would fall unconscious while driving a car. And she smashed the car several times, thankfully without serious injury. And she came from a staunch religious background. She related to me the places she had been to for deliverance without success. She related to me the last accident that she had. She was taken to a Zanzibar man who wanted to cut her skin and rub his potion into the flesh. And she ran out of the place before he could even take the blade and slit her skin. And friends, her parents who took her there had to pay for the consultation and whatever he demanded. Mysterious things were happening to her at home. She could not explain it. Now, I will not go into the details of all the things that have happened. But she was delivered, listen to this, she was delivered by the power of the gospel and prayer. And guess what? She did not have to pay for the 4 hours of consultation with me and my late wife. Have a look at verses 4 and 5. And I'll read it again. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. The mystery that was not made known in other generations is now revealed. It is no longer a secret. It is not hidden. What is this mystery that was hidden in ages past? Well, Paul tells us in verse 6, if we read that, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Jesus Christ. The Gentiles and Jews are no longer separated by a wall that divides, as in the case of the Old Testament, and strict Pharisaical rules. No. Through the gospel of Christ, both Jews and Gentiles are now one. They are heirs. They are members. They are sharers together in the promise in Jesus Christ. So my point of the story of the mysterious happenings of this girl within a religion that embellishes in secrets and caught up in the snares of the devil will always remain that way. Why? Because the secret in the religion she belongs to is for the spiritually elite. They seem to be the ones that have all the answers of life. But the good news says Paul, is that it is not so with the gospel. The substance of the mystery hidden in ages past will no longer be a secret. And the double union of Jews and Gentiles being reconciled to Christ and to each other is a real deal with the gospel. And the gospel is no secret. Every single person has been touched by the gospel of Jesus Christ, knows the secret and will spread it, because they won't keep the secret to themselves. See, the truth is not for pastors or evangelists or Bible teachers to grasp, so that they are the only ones that are able to teach others. No. It is free for every single Christian believer to grasp and to share. That's what Benny was saying. He said he was regarded by his family as a good for nothing, useless scum of the family. And yet God took this good for nothing, useless scum of the family and allowed him to be a testimony throughout the world. Who knows that you are sitting here thinking that you are useless, good for nothing, scum of the family, that God could take you and use you to become a testimony throughout the world? God knows that, if you will only believe it. And so, friends, if you look at verse 7, the truth or the mystery is revealed and it's entrusted. It's an entrusted ministry made public. Have a look at verse 7. I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Now, Paul, the greatest apostle, the greatest missionary, the greatest faith healer, and the greatest preacher, tells how the gospel made him a slave / servant. If there's anyone that should be proud, if there is anyone that should be boasting, it ought to have been the Apostle Paul, isn't so? Yet he shows none of the boasting or the pride, and he gives credit for everything that he is and everything that he has to God's wonderful grace and power working through him. Have a look at verse 8. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. What a humbling statement to make. I remember sharing a tribute at a funeral of a dear mum and made the statement that the family grew up in humble circumstances at a council home in Phoenix. The daughter of this dear mother who died was so angry with me for degrading her publicly and her family's name publicly at the funeral. And the reason for her anger is that they had moved up in life and lived in a comfortable home in a plush suburb. How dare you embarrass me? But notice how Paul views himself. He doesn't even want to be called a slave. He says he is less than a slave. He is less than the least of all God's people. In India, such people are called untouchables. Such people were looked down upon and discarded as the very dregs of society, the scum of the earth. And the priests and the high class people would not even want their shadow to touch them. If their shadow touched them, they will go and take a bath, because they would have been unclean through that. And Paul identifies himself with the least, with the less than the least of people. And yet God chose me, says Paul, and offered me his grace to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to the Gentiles. Notice this gospel of grace was not restricted to the Gentiles alone. Have a look at verse 9. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. Notice that? His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm. Now, notice here, it's Paul was called to administrate this mystery to everyone. Not just to the Gentiles. To make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. Who was it that Paul wanted to make known the gospel of grace in Christ to? Well, it was God the Father that wanted him to make this gospel known. None other. And verse 10 clearly says this mandate is now given to the church. The entire body of Christ. Every single member who has experienced the grace of God, who has experienced salvation, who has experienced new birth, who has experienced the forgiveness of sins and the blessing of eternal life, he's now called to share this grace and to pass it on to others. Listen to this. The unity of the Jews and Gentiles and the entire church's witness is a staggering thought indeed. Israel is no longer a special people. It is the new Israel of God that is now the special people of God. And it is made up of both Jews and Gentiles. The church on earth, brothers and sisters, is observed by rulers and authorities. Where? It says in the heavenly realms. It's not the government of the earth. It's not the leaders of our nations. The Bible says the church on earth is observed by rulers and authorities in heavenly realms, heavenly places. It simply means that the good and the godly angels are watching over God's people. And when they look at God's people, they say, wow, what a great thing has happened. God's unfolding plan is taking place within the church. Within the workplace, within the context of colleges, within the context of schools and other places. God has placed people in different places to be his mouthpiece. Now notice it also means that the titanic conflict between God and the powerful angels or spiritual forces against Jesus and the history of redemption finds its blessing and fulfillment in Christ alone. And notice Christ is elevated over all evil powers, all titles, all authorities, so that Jesus rules over all. The devil's angels are also watching. It's not only the good angels that are watching and standing in awe, but the devil's angels stand and they look with awe and they are defenseless against a united church. And that is why in chapter 6 and verse 12, we'll come to that when I get to preaching on it, Paul urges the Christians to put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. The devil, friends, is defeated and he knows that. And therefore he's going to pull out every trick he can find to cause the Christian to stumble and fall. And the Christian believer is called to exalt Christ in the heavenly realms. And how does he do that? He does it through his witness, through his testimony. The question is, are you a testimony? Am I a testimony? When people look at me, what do they see? Do they see the grace of God? Do they see the forgiveness of sins? Do they see the salvific act that God had performed on my heart and soul? Am I a testimony? Am I a witness? And so as I close, there are two things I want to leave with you. One is, the gospel of Christ is no longer a mystery. It is no secret what God can do. What is done for others, he can do for you. You know that song? What is done for others, he can do for you. And it is known throughout the world by Christians. It is Christians that take the word and go and spread it. The gospel of Christ, secondly, breaks down walls of ethnicity, language, culture, race. And it is entrusted to us to make Jesus known publicly and not just privately. You can see, friends, that this church of Jesus Christ does not say you can't come to this church because you are of a certain ethnic group. You can't come to this church because you speak a different language. You can't come to this church because you are of a different color of skin. No! Jesus Christ, He's for everyone. So everyone that loves Christ is embraced within this community. There is every nation, every tongue, every tribe, every ethnicity, every language that will congregate in heaven. The multitudes will be singing glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords one day in heaven. And we are a reflection of heaven on earth. And if we can't reflect that on earth, how dare we think that we're going to be able to reflect it in heaven with the multitudes? And therefore, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ has broken down the barriers. And I don't know what barrier you have in your life. And whatever that barrier is, you've got to break it down. Christ has broken down the wall. And whatever that wall is that's separating you from another person, it's got to be broken down. If you're not talking to somebody, you've got a problem. You've got to deal with it. You cannot be a Christian and say that I can't speak to another person. God has asked you to open your mouth and speak. How are you going to open your mouth and speak His word and be a testimony to somebody else when someone else knows that you're not speaking to somebody that is part of the family? Get rid of anger, bitterness, rage, slander, and malice from your heart. So that when people look at you, they will see Christ reflected in you. They will see Jesus. And more than that, when you open your mouth to speak, they will be able to listen like they will listen to a man such as Betty Prasad. Let us pray together. Gracious Lord, thank you for unveiling the secrets of the gospel to the apostles so that they could pass it on to us. Today we proclaim to the world that it is no secret what God can do. What is done for others, He will do for us. Yes, Lord, with arms wide open, He is willing to pardon. He is willing to deliver. Jesus is willing to save less than the least of individuals. He's done it with Paul. He's done it with countless other people throughout history. Lord Jesus, you continue to save people like no other. You are the only mediator between God and man. Thank you, Lord, that you found me whilst I was steeped in my religious pride. You found me when I was sinking in sin. You found me when I was lost in my philosophical reasoning. You found me when I was lost in my relative thinking. Lord, you found me when I was lost in the cesspool of my own religious mess. You lifted me out of the muck and the mire and the pit. You set my feet on the rock of salvation. You placed a new song in my mouth, and Lord, so that I could praise you this morning, and you established my way. I cannot thank you enough. Lord, help us as God's new community to be a light to my neighbors, to my friends, to my relatives and to my family that are so far away from you. Lord God Almighty, grant us the words and wisdom to open our mouths at the right time to bring people into a right relationship with you. Do it, Lord, for your glory. And in Christ's name, I pray this. Amen.